God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about grace and response. The grace of God and the way you and I can respond to that wonderful, amazing, matchless grace. My husband Lars and I had dinner some time ago with a man named John who was telling us a wonderful story about his conversion. It began on a commuter train. He said he used to notice this very nice man always waiting for the same train on the same platform. And a number of weeks and months went by. He seemed to be a nice guy. But what John didn't know was that Jesus Christ lived in this man. Does that statement startle you? Well, the man was a Christian, and the Bible tells us that Christ lives in us once we become a Christian. And this Christian man befriended John. He never put any pressure on him, didn't talk religion in a way that was offensive or intrusive. And his graciousness led John to the Lord. And through this man, God, in effect, gave Himself to John. That's really what happens, isn't it? Christ lives in us, and Christ manifests Himself through us when we become Christians, when we love Him and obey Him and follow Him. So God, through this man, gave Himself to our friend John, and that's what you call grace. Grace is a theological word. It may seem remote, even controversial, and sometimes our minds get tied up in knots and the word doesn't have any practical effect on our lives. But I believe that true theology is immensely practical. I wouldn't be doing this broadcast if I didn't believe that. I'm not a theologian. I never claimed to be a theologian. I'm just a woman who reads her Bible and loves God and wants to help other women and men to love God and to find how wonderfully practical and applicable and relevant that old book is to our daily lives. Grace is God giving Himself to us, His generous, personal outpouring of His love and will. Shall I read that again? I think that's an excellent definition, and it's not original with me. I did get it from somebody who might have called herself a theologian. I'm not sure. But this makes sense to me. Grace is God giving Himself to us, a generous, personal outpouring of His love and will. Grace is God communicating Himself to us. A commerce or an exchange is established between God and the soul. He gives and we receive. And then we give back to Him and He receives. Are you familiar with the book of Esther? It's one of the books in the Bible and it is a beautiful story. And in the second chapter of Esther, we read about how she, who was one of the girls in King Xerxes' harem, her turn was coming up. King Xerxes had a harem full of beautiful girls, and they would come to him one by one and spend a night after each of them had completed 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months of which were with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And then, I don't know how they chose them or in what order they went, but when her turn came, she would go to the king. So in verse 15 of the second chapter of the book of Esther, We read, when the turn came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. It's interesting to me that the character of Esther comes through in many ways. One of them is that she asked for nothing. She could have asked for anything she wanted. She asked for nothing. She went to the king in obedience. She received the king's crown, even though it was not deserved. I think of the king recognizing in Esther a woman who won his favor. Actually, one of the translations uses the word grace here. She found grace in his sight. Not something that she had deserved, but something that came in the king's own self-giving. She won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins, and so he set a royal crown on her head. Isn't that similar to what God does with you and me? He calls us. He chooses us. We have no special merit of our own. And if we receive him, respond to him, then he gives us a royal crown. He makes us one of the royal family. And in Luke 24, verse 13, we read about that wonderful story of when two disciples were walking along the road to Emmaus right after the crucifixion, and they were in despair. All their hopes had been dashed. They had counted on Jesus, the Messiah, establishing a kingdom, and lo and behold, here he had been nailed to a cross. And as they were walking along in their despair and discouragement, a stranger came along and walked along beside them, and they didn't know who it was. They were talking about everything that had happened, and as they talked, along came this stranger. They didn't recognize him, and he said, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem, and you do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, and the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." And then you remember the story, how it looked as though Jesus was going to go on past the house when these two reached their house, but they persuaded him to come in and to have supper with them. So Jesus comes, he walks, he talks with them, he stays, he has supper with them, and it's Jesus himself who picks up the bread and breaks the bread and gives it to these two people, who I think were probably a married couple. The Bible doesn't tell us who the other one was, just mentions Cleopas, but very likely a married couple. And the Bible says they recognized him in the breaking of bread. It was God communicating himself to them, an act of grace. Think of the story of the Apostle Paul when he was still Saul of Tarsus, a man very angry with Christians and persecuting them. And he was traveling along on the Damascus Road when suddenly he was blinded by a light and he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he fell on his face and he said, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And he was given a task. I want to ask you today, do you know God? How do you know him? What happened? Did you respond? It could be just you're having tuned into this station today, which is God giving himself to you. Perhaps through my words, perhaps through someone else's, perhaps through a song. not a dazzling light necessarily, or a vision or a voice from heaven, but the grace of God giving himself to you nonetheless. Do you remember my story of Maria D'Urso, that young woman who had been on drugs for 15 years from the age of 10 to 25, and how one night she heard God say to her, "This is your last chance, Maria. Give me your life." How did she respond? She gave him her life. Response is my giving to God. God calls me by his grace. And my friend John, who became a Christian through that man that he met on the train station, told us that the first thing God said to him after he received Christ into his life was, "Go and love your wife." He calls us and he gives us a task. Maria made up her mind immediately when she gave her life to God that she had to quit sleeping with her boyfriend and she had to start going to church. And it was in church that she heard another call, made a total surrender and a commitment. The Bible says that Jesus was begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus came in the flesh, the Father giving his Son, pouring out his love, revealing himself, sending us the message that he had been sending through the prophets and the scriptures and the commandments and all of his creation, that message which he had been sending in all those other ways, he now sent in the flesh, in Jesus Christ, who became a man, God's gift of grace to you and me. What's your response to him today? He calls you. Will you come?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.